Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Yevam Daf Pei Tes. We will begin on Daf Pei Chesam Beis, seven lines from the bottom. Tzrichim get mizeh mizeh. We had learned in the Mishnah that if a Eid Echad had come and said that a woman's husband passed away, and based on that, she got remarried, and then her first husband shows up, the Gemara says, Teitzeh mizeh mizeh. The Mishnah said, she needs to separate from both husbands. And she needs a get from both husbands. So ask the Gemara, Bishlama Rishon to buy get. The halacha that she needs a get from the first husband is well understood because she was married to him. Now that she lived with another man, so the halacha is telling us she cannot live with him. And therefore the halacha is that she needs to have a get. Ella, Misheni, from the second husband, the kedushin that was made with that second husband was a totally meaningless kedushin because she was an Eishes Ish. And a kedushin with an Eishes Ish is not a valid kedushin. So if that's the case, Snuspa Almahu, and why is a get required? Answers the Gemara Amar of Hun Gzeira, Chazal made a Gzeira, Shemi Yiremru. People will see that she is getting married, that she's leaving the second husband, they're going to assume what happened here. They're going to assume Girazeh, the first husband had divorced her, Nosazeh, and then the second husband married her, and now she's leaving him without a get. And people are going to say, how is this possible? Nimtzis, they're going to say that Eishes Ish, that a married woman, Yotzeh b'lo get, is separating from a husband without a get. And in order to avoid such a problem, Chazal said that she needs to get a get from the second husband as well. Ask the Gemara Ihochi if that is the concern, Seifa. Let's learn the Seifa. Diktani Amrlei Meis Balach, we're going to learn in the Mishnah that she was told that her husband passed away, Viniskacha, and on base of that she only had Kedushin, but she did not have Nisuin with the second husband. Then the first husband shows up. Since she had never consummated her marriage with the second husband, the halacha is mutaris lachzalai, she could go back to the first husband. But now, ask the Gemara, hasanami neimar, why should we not be concerned that people are going to say, girezeh, that what must have happened over here is that the first husband divorced her, v'kidezeh, and then the second husband was Mekadishar, made Erisin, and now she's going back to the first husband, and people are going to say, for as we often state in our Shurim, the halacha is that a woman who has Erisin, Midaraisa, is considered an Eishes Ish. And if Midaraisa, she's considered an Eishes Ish, people are going to say that this woman who's an Eishes Ish with the second husband is separating from her second husband without a get. Nimtzis Eishes Ish Yotzeh b'lo beget, that she does, that she's separating from a second husband without a get. Answers the Gemara, actually loylem b'lo get, that in that case where if the first husband shows up only after was kedushin with the second husband, she will need to have a get from the second husband. Ask the Gemara Ihochi, if that's the way we're paskening, so then we would have a different issue. That means, in the eyes of the world, this second marriage was a real marriage because we're requiring that there should be a get from the second marriage. Ask the Gemara, if that's what we're going to require, people will assume that the second marriage was a marriage, and they're going to assume that you could have a machzik grusha. So we know the Torah says that if somebody divorces his wife, the halacha is that they can't go back to his wife. She can't remarry him once she was married to someone else. If we're saying that she has to have a get from the second husband, people are going to assume that even though she had Erisa with a second husband, she could go back to the first husband. Nimtza machzik grushasa mishanasa, says the Gemara Rav Yosi ben Kippur, that actually that will not be a question. Because that Mishnah is going to follow the opinion of Rav Yosi ben Kippur. The Omar that says that the halacha is that if somebody divorces a woman, he may not remarry her. That's only if the woman had nesuin with another man. Dama min nesuin asura. min erisin, but if there was only erisin with the second husband, and then they divorce, she may go back muteris. So the concern that people are going to say, well, she had kedusha with the second husband. How to get with the second husband? How is she going back to the first husband? The halacha is she's allowed to, since there was only erisin with the second husband. And this Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur that that does not prevent the first husband from remarrying her. But ask the Gemara, HaMediktani Seifa, Abishanosun Achron Get, that even though the second one gave her a get, like Paslo Minakuna, we're not worried about that get, and she will not be considered an individual who's a Grusha who may not marry a Kayin. Isha Grusha Miisha. Because when the Torah says that a Kayin may not marry a divorcee, that's only for a woman that is supposed to get a get. But a woman who's not supposed to get a get, the get is meaningless. Isn't this clearly an indication that the reason we allow her to get married to a Kayin in the future, b'chlad loy b'y get, because she's not considered a divorcee. Because if b'y get, if the halacha were requiring that this woman who had kedusha with the second man before the first husband came back, and then he came back, doesn't require a get, amai loy pasul makuna, why would she not become disqualified from ever marrying a Kayin? Ella, says the Gemara, Sefer, in the Sefer, we're not worried because people will say that the Kedushin she had with the second husband were a Kedushay Tos. It was under the assumption that the first husband was no longer alive, but Baruch Hashem, he was alive, and that's why we don't have to take that into consideration. So ask the Gemara, in the Reisha, Nami, in the Reisha, where there wasn't just the Erisin with the second husband, there was actually even the Suin with the second husband, why don't we also say Nesu'e Tos Hava? It was by mistake. And now that the first husband showed up, we shouldn't need to have a get from that second husband. Answers the Gemara, Kansur Rabbonin. Indeed, she really doesn't require a get from the second husband. The marriage wasn't a marriage. She's an Eishes Ish. However, the Chazal made a knas that she should not leave the second husband without a get. So ask the Gemara, if in the case of Nesu'in, Chazal made a special rule that she shouldn't leave him without a get, the same halacha asked the Gemara ought to apply in the Sefer Nami. When there was kedushin with the second husband, l'knasua, the halacha should require, because of the knas the Rabbanon, that she should have to have a get. Answers the Gemara, Reisha of Risura. And the ratio is that she actually did an isser, that she actually married the second husband, which she, while the first husband was still alive. That's why Kansua, Chazal didn't leave her any options. And they tell her she has to get a get, because of what we said at the beginning of the shiur, that people are going to be concerned, we're worried that people are going to say that a woman can leave her husband without a get. Even though that makes her into a grusha, Chazal didn't care. Chazal were ready to go with the full force against this woman because she did the wrong thing, because she should not have gotten Nesu'in. Sefer, in the Sefer, as we've been learning, there was no Nesu'in. There was only Erisin. And since there was only Erisin, so she didn't actually do anything that terrible. And since they didn't do anything so terrible, like Kansur Rabbanon, that she should have to have a get. And now all the questions that we asked will be answered. Chazal didn't want to be strong against this woman. And therefore, Chazal said she won't have a get. And like that, she will be allowed to still marry a Kayin. Chazal said that she shouldn't get a get. And therefore, according to all opinions, she's allowed to go back to her first husband, because it will not be considered a machzor grushasoi after she got married. Because even according to the opinions that hold that machzor grushasoi is osur after kedushin, here it will be recognized to everyone that there was no kedushin because there's no need for a get, and that's why she could go back to the first husband. So a woman who did something improper, had nesu'in with the second man when her husband was alive, we're strict on. A woman who's not that way, we're much less strict, we're less strict to get about. There's an interesting machlokes in the Rishonim. We've been speaking about Erison. Clearly, if she only had Erison with the second husband, we don't make her have a get from the second husband. Clearly, if she had the suin with the second husband, a get is required. What would be the halacha if there wasn't just Erison, there was actually a chuppah as well? But it was chuppah, apishlay nivola. There was a chuppah without it being consummated into a biyah. How will the halacha treat that situation? Will it treat it like Erison or will it treat it like Nisuin? We learned in the Mishnah that if a woman was told by an echad that her husband died, and based on that she got married to another man, and then her husband shows up, the halacha is she doesn't take a ksuba from either, she's not entitled to a ksuba from either husband. And ask the Gemara, my tama, what's the reason that that's the halacha that she doesn't get a ksuba? Says the Gemara, my tama to kinel rabban and ksuba. Why did Chazal, in general, make the rule of a ksuba? Because kadesh lo teikal be'en avlo tzioi. Chazal wanted the ksuba to serve as a deterrent from people getting divorced. But here, as we're learning, we want them to get divorced. Since we want them to get divorced, because she's not allowed to be with the first husband or with the second husband, that's why we want them to, we don't give her a ksuba. So Tysus asks, from here it seems that the concept of ksuba is the Rabbanon. And here Chazal said, we don't give a ksuba. But ask Tysus, we're going to learn in Masechet Ksubas that there are many opinions that hold that the chi of ksuba is a chi of deraisa. And actually, if we look in the wording of the ksuba, it says the chazi l'chi midaraisa. Isn't that clearly an indication that the obligation of a ksuba is a chi of deraisa? Says Tysus that here we're referring to a woman who got married as an almana. And halacha, everybody agrees that the ksuba of an almana is only midrabbanan. The Ritva says that not only does she lose her ksuba, but in most ksubas are included Tysus ksuba, that the husband on his own adds more to the basic amount that's required. And Ritva says that not only does she lose the ksuba, but she loses the Tysus ksubas as well. The halacha is Eila Peris. We know, as we've discussed many times, Baruch Hashem, in our Masechta, if a woman brings into the marriage Nichsim Belug, the halacha is that the husband eats the Peris. And the halacha, the Mishnah is teaching us, is that the Peris that he ate from the Nichsim Belug, whether it's the first husband or the second husband, she can't claim back. V'lo Mezoinus, the halacha is that a husband has to support his wife. That halacha doesn't apply here. V'loy belos. The way we learned in the Mishnah, the definition of belos is that any garment she brought into the marriage, the husband keeps. Says the Gemara. Why? So explains the Gemara, because all of these rules that we just mentioned are all from the Tanai Ksuba. And the halach is Tanai Ksuba Ksuba Dami. All the rules that are included in the Ksuba are included in the Hilchas Ksuba. So if she's not entitled to the Ksuba, she's not entitled to the Tanai Ksuba either. Not lo. If she took the Ksuba from either husband, the halach is Mizeh Mizeh. If she took the Ksuba, then she has to return it. Pshita. Of course, she has to return what she took, what she's not entitled to. Answers Gemara, Ma'ad Tei Mekim the Tafsa. Since she grabbed it, She seized it, which she should not have. Loi mafkir menot, but we let her keep it. Kamash melon. So the way the Aruch Haner explains the Gemara is that the half meaning the maskana is that the Mishnah said tachzer. Tachzer seems to mean that she should return it. But let's say she's seizing it, she should be allowed to keep it. Teaches us the Mishnah that no. Teaches us the Gemara that not only is she not allowed to, is she supposed to return it, but if she did take it, we make her give her back. We learned further that the child, whether a child born from the first husband or from the second husband, is a mamzer. Our Gemara begins the sugya. What is the power of Chazal in doing things like a dovim and a Torah? Do Chazal have a right to undo something that says in the Torah. So as we get into the sugya, we first should really mention the machloikis of the Rambam and the Ramban. The pasuk says, "Al pi haTorah she yirucha v'al meshpat ashiyam l'chotasa." We have a mitzvah to say to do whatever the chacham tell us. And furthermore, the pasuk continues, "Loisos man adover asher gidloch l'cha yom nesmol." We're not allowed to go away from what they tell us to the right or to the left. We're not allowed to veer away. And based on this, the Rambam says that all takaras rabbanon are have a deraisa, a mitzvah to say, and a mitzvah to leis to say a deraisa. So ask the Ramban, if you, the Rambam, are correct, then there should never be this difference that we always speak about between the deraisas and the rabbanon. According to the Rambam, it should all be a deraisa. And therefore, says the Ramban, that this pasuk that the Rambam really does have a strong reason to assume is teaching us a din Torah is only when the Rabbanon are teaching us how to learn a pshat in the pasuk. That means, as many of us say every morning, the Yud Gimel Midas, the brice of the Yud Gimel Midas, shatayr in the drashas behen. So when Chazal teaches our halacha based on those Yud Gimel Midas, Kavu Chaimer, Gzeri Shava, etc., that has the status of a deraisa. But something that does not have that, something that the Rabbanon initiated on themselves, doesn't have the din of a deraisa. However, say the Achroinim, in explaining the opinion of the Ramban, that not that the Ramban doesn't believe that the Chacham have a right to establish rules. The Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us that we should follow the Gzeiros Chazal. However, the Torah also said that Gzeiros Chazal don't have the status of the Raisa, they only have the status of the Rabbonim. The Taz says that even though we're learning, and we're going to be learning out of Sugya, what is the power of Chazal, what is not the power of Chazal, something that the Torah expressly said is mutter, they can't say is usur. Or something that the Torah said expressly is usur, they can't say is mutter. And that's the basis for the famous psak of the Taz, that even though, and we're going to be learning this today, that under certain circumstances, something that may be done in Shabbos, Chazal said we shouldn't do it on Shabbos. Chazal never prohibited doing a bris milah when the eighth day is on Shabbos. And the reason is, because the Torah says, b'yoyim hashmini yimol b'sar alosoy, so the Torah expressly said that we should do a bris on Shabbos, Chazal can't go and say something that's mutter, that the Torah expressly said is mutter, is usur. Others say that Chazal could actually do that as well. Prichodus says what Chazal cannot do is say something which is a mitzvah is not a mitzvah. But if they're not saying something which is a mitzvah is not a mitzvah, anything less than that they can do. So we learned in our Mishnah that if the husband shows up, she got remarried based on the testimony of an Eid Echad, and she husband comes, the Vlad from both of them is a Mamzer. Tanan Hossam begins the Gemara with a Mishnah in Masechta Trumas. The Mishnah in Masechta Trumas says, "Ein Tamer, one may not take Truma min Atar al Tomei." We're not allowed to take Truma from Tomei al Atar. Rashi explains the reason is because it's a Hefset Kayin. Truma that's Tomei may not be eaten. Of course, Truma bet Tar may be eaten. It's a mitzvah to eat it. And that's why Rashi says, the Mishnah says, we're not allowed to take Truma minatame olatar. Others say that the reason is that it's minara alayofa. We're going to learn that the halacha is you're not allowed to take truma minara from poor quality fruit on good quality fruit. Minatame olatar is in that category. Continues the Mishnah, vim taram, if one did so b'shagig. And the way the Rishonim explain that b'shagig here does not mean that he didn't know the halacha. Somebody not knowing the halacha is not considered a shagig. A shagig here means that he took truma from Tamei al Atar, not realizing that this produce was Tamei. From Tarm b'shayeg, truma sa truma. The truma will be considered a valid truma. If he did it, however, b'mezid, layosav alay klum. The halacha is that it's not acceptable. And Tosfos explains, particularly since, as we said a moment ago, that the reason you're not allowed to take truma min ha-tamei al ha-tar is because it's considered min ha-ra al ha-yofa. So why, points out Tosfos, is the halacha that if somebody did take truma min ha-ra al ha-yofa, the halacha is the truma is a valid truma. Why by tamei al ha-tar is that not the halacha? So explains Tosfos. When somebody took truma from poor quality fruit, from poor quality produce, on good quality produce, the poor quality produce is edible, it's usable. It's not great, but it's usable. And that's why, but the Eved, the halach is that it's considered valid. But as we said a few moments ago, truma tamea is not really usable. And since truma tamea is not really usable, and he did this b'mezid, the halach is loy osv loy klum. Ask the Gemara, Mail Osav Loi Klum. What is meant when we said Loi Osav Loi Klum? Amar Chizal Loi Osav Loi Klum, Kol Iker. We totally discount what happened here. That Fila Higriya, even what was already identified as Truma, Hodel Tivle, is not considered Truma. We totally negate everything that happened here. Am Nasim Rabbi Yosha Amar, Lasa Vloi Klum means L'sakenes Ashrayim, what is left over still needs truma to be removed from it. Avol, what you identified as truma, is already truma. And the Gemara explains why Rav Chisda doesn't agree with Rav Nosson Rabbi Yoshia. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda, like Omek Rav Nosson Rabbi Yoshia, Rav Chisda did not want to explain, like Rav Nosson Rabbi Yoshia explains, the emet truma, if we're going to say that what he took is considered truma, so the person is zimna in the pasha, v'lay mafresh. He'll say, so what I did, maybe I didn't do what I was supposed to do, but it's still okay, and he won't take off truma from what's left over. Ask the Gemara, mashna, but why is this any different, mehadutnan, from what the Mishnah teaches us, hatarim kishus, if somebody takes truma from cucumbers, we don't have to take cucumbers from each barrel individually. We have baskets of cucumbers, and we take one basket, truma from one basket, for all the baskets. So that's what happened. Hatarim kishus, he took off truma for one basket of cucumbers for many baskets. And v'nimtzis, and it turns out that the cucumbers that he identified as truma were mara, were not edible. Or he took off truma from aftich, from melons. One basket of melons were used to be truma for many baskets. The nimtzit seruach. And then it turns out that the produce that he took as truma is spoiled. The loch is truma v'yachs v'yitrum. So we see that what is done is done. Just Chazal said that you have to take truma again. And they weren't concerned for Rav Chisda's consideration that if I'm going to allow you to do this, you may not take truma again. Ask the Gemara, Shagig Mezer Rezid? Why are you asking? There was a Shagig. Shagig the Loy Avir Sura, where the person did not deliberately do an Avera. So therefore, we're talking about a person who wants to do the right thing. Something happened beyond his control. And that's why we're not concerned that he won't do the right thing. And he'll take truma again. Mezid is a person who's doing the wrong thing. He knows that he wasn't supposed to take minatame ala tahar. And he did it anyway. If we're going to tell him that the truma that he took is valid, there's a legitimate concern, says Rav Chisda, that he won't do any more. Ask the Gemara, but Shagig is saying, since he's essentially a good person, we're not going to be machmer. Ask the Gemara, v'rami Shagig is Shagig, hachtani, in our Mishnah it says, b'shagig trumasa truma, that b'di'evid, you don't have to do it again if this was all done, if you took me tamei al atar, not realizing that you did the wrong thing, it's all fine. But yet, by the case of the melons, hosung tani, that if you took from the, if you ended up using poor quality melon cucumber, the halacha is trum v'yachsen v'yitraim. And the question is, why are we being strict there and not here? Answers the Gemara, there are different levels of shayig. Hosam, by the case of the melons, it's not a pure shayig. Shayig kerv l'mezit. It's a shayig that's kerv l'mezit because people recognize that not all melons are going to be equal in taste. And he should have tasted it to make sure that he's not taking from poor quality melons for good melons. Whereas the person who doesn't know that what he's doing, the person doesn't know that the produce that he took is tamei, he doesn't have any reason to assume that it's tamei, and therefore we could be more lenient. Hosam, in the case of the kishis and the aftichim, shayigi karv lemezid, the bailel tamei, he should have checked what is the status. And therefore, since he should have checked what the status is, even though he truly was a shaygig, the halachas were more machmer. Ben asked the Gemara of Rami Mezid Amezid, but we still have another question. Hacha, Tani, the Mishnah said, B'mezid, lo'yosav lo'yklum, that if he took minatame alatar b'mezid, it's meaningless. Hosam, Tanan, but there's a Mishnah Masechta Tanai, who says, Hatayrim, if somebody deliberately takes truma, from produce that grew in a flower pot that doesn't have a hole, and since it doesn't have a hole, it's not getting nourishment from the ground, and if it's not getting nourishment from the ground, it's not mechuyev and trumas maisris, and he took from that type of produce, al nokuf, on produce that grew in a flower pot that has a hole, that's getting nourishment from the ground, the aloch and is mechuyev and truma ma'isa mederaisa. The aloch is truma. What he did is considered valid. V'yachse v'yitrim, and he has to do it again. Now the question is, why, according to Rav Chisda, would he have to do it again? Why is the first truma according to Rav Chisda considered a valid truma? Why are we not concerned, as Rav Chisda expressed a little earlier, that he's not going to do it the second time? Answers the Gemara. There, the fruit grew, the produce grew in two different types of flower pots. But trei mani, since they grew in two different types of flower pot, yatsayis, the person is going to listen and tell you when you tell him you have to take truma again. Whereas, in the case when you took menatame alator, they all grew in the same place. And he took truma. And now you're going to tell him to take truma again. That's something like tzayis he won't accept. That was something that Rav Chisda was concerned about. Continues the Gemara. Or Rav Nosson Rav Yishe, the Omer, lo yosav klum, that he says that somebody took truma min harov al hayofa. It means the shak and shrayim, that you have to take truma again from what's left over. But what you already identified as truma, have a truma, have a, what you identified as truma is already truma, my shenom ma'adotanan, ask the Gemara, why is this any different? Ask the Gemara, Rav Nosson Rav Yishe, from what we learned in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, if somebody took truma min anokuv al she'en anokuv from a flower pot that has a chiv deraisa truma, on a flower pot that doesn't have a chiv deraisa, the halacha is that the truma is a truma. What he did is considered halachically valid. However, v'lo toichol, he shouldn't eat that first truma. Actually, it's truma ma'isa makam acher. So we see we treat it still as tevel. But according to Rav Nosson Bar Aishia, the first truma is considered truma. And why shouldn't the kain be allowed to eat? Why shouldn't the kain be allowed to eat it? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hacha, the two cases are not really the same. In the case when you took Minatame Elatar, Midaraisa, Truma Maliasahi. If we look at the status Midaraisa, it's really considered acceptable truma. Why? Based on what Rabbi Loi taught us, as we said earlier in our shir, the halacha is the Gemara we suggested, Taisus suggested, other Rishonim suggested. The reason why when somebody's tayrim minatame alator, it's not considered valid because it's considered a situation that he took truma min arah ala yafa. Why would be the halacha if somebody actually took truma min arah ala yafa? So truma, it's considered a valid truma. The ksiv, the pasuk that teaches us that you're not supposed to do it, says v'loy sisu olav chait berim ches chel b'memenu. You won't get an aveira for doing it. Now points out the Gemara. Vim ein kaddish, if what you did is meaningless, then the seis chait lama. Why is it considered an aveira? It's not an aveira if what you did is not wrong. It must be, says the Gemara. From here we see, mikan the tayman aral yafish truma sa truma. It's considered a valid truma. Whereas by atzut se'en anokav anokav midarais, it's nothing. So here the Gemara is explaining that the fact that it's considered that you did an aveira, it's a raya that it's valid. Because if it wasn't valid, then why should there be an aveira? But there are rishonim that take a different ask on this. The Torah, even if what you did is wrong, it's still an aveira. So maybe that's what is meant to teach us here. So they say, if every time when somebody does an aveira, the Torah doesn't declare v'lo sisal achet, that you're getting an aveira for what you did. Why in this case did if the Torah find it necessary to call it an aveira? The fact that we see that the Torah went out of its way to call it an aveira is clearly an indication that it is that it's valid, just it's an aveira. Says the Gemara. Amalei Rava Rav Chisda, Lididach, the Amrit, that you said in the case when somebody took Truma min atamei al atar, lo yosef lekulam kayakar, what has been identified as Truma is not. That filu hud hi guruya, that produce that which was identified as Truma hadala tevla, is really now considered Tevel. My Tama, and you explained the reason, because we're concerned that if we will allow it to remain truma, the person will not do what he's supposed to do. What is he supposed to do? He is supposed to take truma again. Ask the Gemara on Rav Chisda. Mi kamidi, the midaraisa have a truma. Can there be a situation that you, Rav Chisda, are agreeing the midaraisa, the produce which was identified as truma, is really truma? And mishum dima pasha, now there's a new concern that if we allow to remain truma, he may not take truma again. And because of that concern, afkur rabbanon chulin, Chazal are going to call it chulin. Do the bezdin, ask the Gemara. V'chi bezdin, mas nalaka davar min haTorah, do the bezdin have the right to take something which is really not truma, really truma, and declare it not truma? Amalei, so Rav Chisda responds, v'at loy tizbro, do you not agree that Bezdin has such a power? The Tanan, we learned from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, again, to review the case that we're referring to, one aide came and said that the husband died, and then she got remarried based on that testimony, and then the first husband comes back. Mishnah said that the children born both from the second husband or from the first husband are mamzerim. The Tanan, Havlad, Mamzer, Mizer, Mizer. Any children born from either of these husbands are mamzerim. So Rav Chisda makes his point. Bishloima, what you say, Mishani Mamzer, is very understandable. Because when she married and had children from this husband, second husband, she's really an Eish Hashish. And therefore the children born are mamzerim. But ask the Gemara, Ella, mi bala rishon, from the first husband, whom she's truly married to, Amai, why are the children mamzerim? My ishta sharishin he, she is his wife. And how do we declare someone a mamzer who's not a mamzer? Yisrael Malyahu. And he should really be, he's a full-fledged Yisrael. By us, asked the Gemara, declaring him a mamzer, the only one that a mamzer can marry is a mamzeris. So here we have, asked Rav Chisda, an individual who's really not a mamzer. Chazal call him a mamzer. And based on their calling him a mamzer, kasharina libe mamzeris, we're going to allow him to marry a mamzeris who he's really not allowed to marry. Amalei, so Rava responds, hachi amishmul, in explaining our Mishnah. Osaba mamzeris, that the children born from the first husband, who midaraisa, they're a married couple, and therefore midaraisa, those children are not mamzerim, would it not be allowed to marry mamzeris? Bekenke asur Rav Anam Rav Yochanan asur Mamzeres. V'may karli Mamzer. So if he's not allowed to marry a Mamzeres, in what regard are we calling him a Mamzer? Lasser Bas Yisrael. We won't allow him to marry a Mamzeres, but we're going to call him a Mamzer Midrabanon and not allow him to marry Bas Yisrael either. Says the Gemara. Shalach Lei Rav Chizda L'Rabba. And again, what the Gemara now focuses on is what is the Koyach HaBezdin vis-a-vis a mitzvah deraisa? What can they or can't they do? Says the Gemara, Shalei Rav Chizda L'Rabba, B'yad Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna. V'ein Bezdin Masna Laka Dovah Min HaTorah? Do Bezdin not have this right? For Tanya, we've discussed many times in our shiurim. The halacha is that a father has a right to marry off his daughter when she's a katana or a nara, and that marriage is a full-fledged marriage midaraisa. But if you have a girl who's unfortunately a yusayma, so her father, there's no father to marry off, her brothers wanted to get married, so they could marry her off, but that kedushin is a kedushin derabonim. And the Braisa says, Me'emes adam yorish es ishtei ketana. At what point are they considered full-fledged husband and wife? That the halacha is that if a wife, Rachman Slan, dies, the yorish is the husband. Be'shamar m'shatamim mekamasa. As soon as she becomes a gedoyla. Be'selaymrim m'shitkanas l'chuppah. As soon as she has a chuppah with this husband, as soon as the husband has relations with her, the halach is that he yashins her. The halach is if he's a kohen, he becomes tamei, even though a kohen is not allowed to become tamei, only to people who are his relatives. That means a kohen is only allowed to become tamei to somebody who's really his wife. And furthermore, achels begin a truma. We've discussed extensively in our masechta that the wife of a kohen is allowed to eat truma. This wife will be allowed to eat truma. So the Gemara analyzes the different opinions that the Tanoim just said. As soon as she's an adult, she's considered married. Ask the Gemara, Afgav delay nichlas l'chuppa. If she's only an arusa, if there's no chuppa, then the husband doesn't yarshin her. And if there's no chuppa, she doesn't have a right to eat truma. Ema, says the Gemara, what Beis Shammai meant to say was, Mishatame b'kamasa v'tikans l'chuppah. Of course, Beis Shammai means to say that she's an adult and also had a chuppah. Only afterward, only then is she considered marriage. And according to the Rishonim, most Mefarshim explain that the chuppah has to take place after she became a gedoyla. There are Rishonim that disagree and they say it could even be before. And this is the way Ema Mishtam Bekamas with Kars Lukopa. Vach Kamerle. And this is what Beis Shammai Omer LeBeis Hillel. The Kamritu Mishtam Kars Lukopa. You are saying that she's considered a full fledged wife after a chuppa. I disagree. And I say, if she's an adult, then Mahanya, then it will be a full fledged wife. Meilele chuppa. However, Viloi, if she isn't yet a gedoyla, even though she had a chuppah, lemahani lo chuppah. Rabbi Lezer Omer, mishitbal. As soon as she has bia, she's considered his wife. Ask the Gemara, v'amar Rabbi Lezer, ein masik tana klum. That something that's just done with a katana doesn't have any halachic validity. So why is bia enough? Answers the Gemara that indeed, Rabbi Lezer says, "Mishatag de v'tibol." But ask the Gemara, "Ketani meis." We learned that the husband of a ketana yorsha. But ask the Gemara, "Vahocha." In this case, "Mideraisa avia yorsla." Since the kedushin wasn't a kedushin deraisa, who was supposed to be her yorish? Her father. And says the Gemara, "Umidarbanan yorsla bal." And let the Torah saying that the husband yarshin sar, even though with the rights of the father or the yarshin ha. So many Rishonim point out that how do we have a father here? The father we said died, because if the father was alive, that if the father was mekadoshar, it would be a kedusha deraisa. So the Rishonim give two answers. When it says here avua, it doesn't mean actually the father. When it says here avua, it means the father's family. It's one pshat. But then, many Rishonim give a different teretz. We could have a girl who still has a father, and the father is the one who married her off, but the Kedusha would only be Kedusha Drabonim. Such a girl is called a Yusoyma B'chaye Av. And what is the case? The father married her off with a which a father, as we learned, has a right to do. And since the father has the right to do so, the halacha is that she gets married. If that marriage ends, the husband died, the husband divorced her, so she's still a ketana. But even though she's still a ketana, the father only has one chance to marry off. And he loses that right now. She's called the Yisrael B'chayav. That's as far as his right to marry her off. But that has no bearing to what we're discussing. He's still Hayoyush. Answers the Gemara. So we see the power of the Chachamim. Answers the Gemara, that's not a raya. Because there, it works because of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. The father, the Bezdin has a right to take money that belongs to one individual and maybe give it to another individual. Where do we learn this halacha from? Shnemar. The pasuk speaks about when Ezra brought Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael by his second Beis HaMikdash. And there was a real problem of intermarriage in Klal Yisrael. So he said that Ezra said that all people have to come to Yerushalayim within 3 days. And says the pasuk, whoever doesn't show up, everything that he has should become cherim. He will be separated. Here says the pasuk that teaches us this halacha, because the pasuk says, El in the chalus of Shenach la Allah Zarkayin, V'yishu benun, V'roshe Ovois Lamatos B'nei Yisrael. So the question is, V'chi Yimayin Roshim Eitzel Ovois. What is the pasuk speaking about Ovois, parents, and Roshim? Loim Lachma, Ovois Manchilim B'neim Kol Mashi Yirtzu. A father is in control of his Yerusha. Af Roshim Manchilim Es Kol Mashi Yirtzu. So too, the Bezdin has a right to do as they see fit. So here we have a new din. And that is the halacha of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Bezdin has the control over the assets of Klal Yisrael. The question is, how far does the halacha of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker go? Does Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker say that you could take money away? Money that belongs to me, Bezdin could declare as Hefker. But they can't give my money to someone else. Or is Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker mean that Bezdin could take my money and give it to someone else? So many Rishonim suggest that actually that's the machloikis of, many Mefarshim suggest, that's the machloikis of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yitzchak said that Ezra said, whoever doesn't show up, I'm going to confiscate his money. It doesn't say that the money will be given to someone else. Whereas the pasuk that Rabbi Elazar uses says that the money will, that they'll give the assets like a Yerusha, that it's given to whomever they decide it should be given to. From here we see that Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker is much more, that it could be taken from one to another. And this actually is a very relevant question. The Paiskim discussed the situation where somebody's doing Mechiras Chametz. He's selling his Chametz to an Akum. Now we know that when you sell something, if you want that the transaction should be a valid transaction, you need to have a kinyan. And the question the Paiskim discuss, there are various kinyanim mentioned throughout Shas. And the question is, if somebody transferred the Chametz from the Yisrael to the Akum, but the kinyan that was used was a kinyan that's only valid midrabbanan, would that be considered a valid transfer or not? And it's very much connected to the discussion that we just had. If we say that Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker says that not only could Bezdin take away somebody's assets, but Bezdin even has the right to transfer those assets from one individual to another individual. So here too, even though the kinyan that was employed was only a kinyan de Rabbanan, it's still going to be acceptable.
just like Hefka Bezdin Hefka makes any transfer acceptable. If, however, we say that Hefka Bezdin Hefka only allows us to use it, that we could take assets away, but not that we could transfer it to another person based on Hefka Bezdin Hefka, if the kinyan that was used was only a kinyan derabbanon, it's not quite clear that that would be an acceptable way to do a kinyan mechiras chametz. We learned that in this brayso matamala, the halacha is that a kohen who's married to a ketana, kedusha derabbanon becomes tamei. Says the gemara v'ahacha, the midrash of via matamala, a father becomes tamei to his daughter when she dies. Midrabbanon, and now we're saying the kedusha derabbanon allow her to become tamei. Matamalei bal answers the gemara because she's considered like a meis mitzvah, and the halacha is that a kohen becomes tamei to a meis mitzvah. But ask the gemara, me have a meis mitzvah, why are we considering her a meis mitzvah? Vatanya, doesn't the braisa explain who is a meis mitzvah, is a meis mitzvah, kosh ein lo kovrim, that nobody here to bury the individual. Kore, if the person calls out for somebody to bury them, v'cherem einan oisai, and there's somebody to take care of that individual, the kohen has no right to bury her, to bury that individual, because that's not a meis mitzvah. So here, why is this woman, who's the ketana, who's married to the kohen, considered a meis mitzvah? Says the Gemara Hachinami, kivin lo yarsalei, since the halach is telling her us that the family, her family, are not her yarshim, only the kohen is her, only her husband, in this case the kohen is a yarish, Karya, so she's like a woman v'layanola that nobody wants to pay attention to. Because the halacha, because they're going to say, the one who gets her money should be the one to yashin her. Furthermore, we learned, v'chelas beginner b'truma. She eats truma. So again, the question is, if the kedushin is only a kedushin derabbanon, how could she eat truma if she's not really his wife? Answers the Gemara, the truma that we're speaking about here is only the truma that we're speaking about here is only truma derabbanon. But indeed, truma deraisa, since the marriage is not a marriage, the marriage is not a marriage midaraisa, we should not entitled to eat truma deraisa.